You know, time is really flying by. It feels like we just celebrated Christmas, then we had New Year, and then Chinese New Year is on the way. You know, we can see the vibes behind me. We have all the lanterns come out. And as we celebrate Chinese New Year, and those of you who do, on behalf of me and my wife, our well wishes, San Ti Qian Kang, Wan Shi Ru Yi. This is the extent of my Chinese that I have. But in English, it means we pray for your good health and we wish that all goes well for you. Now, as time flies by, I hope and pray that we have not forgotten the challenge that I gave all of you last December. And the challenge was every year, all of our members must evangelize to at least 2 new people. That was the challenge that I gave you. I'm reminding you now, so I hope and pray that as time flies by, you don't forget to share the gospel with 2 new people every year. And if you don't know how to do it, we have a movie night coming on 28 February, where we'll be showing a movie about creation, about God's design, about evidence that there is a God, and so on. So what better way to invite your friends for that movie? Later, we'll make that announcement. We have almost 80 plus people already registered, so we praise the Lord. We're going back to our study of 1 Corinthians, as you can see. And throughout this letter, we have seen the church in Corinth back in the day. It was a lot like our world today. Distracted by culture, by trends, divided because of pride, status, individualism, and struggling to live like a follower of Jesus. And we've been on this very long journey to cover this letter chapter by chapter. And this letter at its heart is really about Christian living. It answers this question of how a Christian should live after they believe in Jesus. So I hope and pray that it has blessed you as it has blessed me and my life. For those of you who are looking at this for the first time, we are now in the last section, which is chapters 11 to 16. And today we would be covering chapter 12. So if you have a physical Bible, please open it. If you have a phone, you can leave it. It's going to give you notifications and distract you. Chapter 12's main theme is unity. I'll go back. And this chapter is divided into 2 main sections. One talks about spiritual gifts, and the other talks about being one body in Christ. So the sermon title is Unity in the Church Community. Unity in the church community. Before I go into the chapter, I have an honest question for all of you. And I pray that you will answer it with honesty. Do you believe that our church here, KLBC Desa Park, is truly united? For those who believe our church here is truly united, please raise your hands. Let me see your hands. No one. Okay, got one person. Praise the Lord. 2. Okay, better than... Okay, 3. Thank you so much. Well, whatever the answer may be, which then begs the next question, which is, what is unity from a point of Christianity? What does this word unity mean from a biblical point of view? Does it mean eating together? Does it mean being together? Does it mean we cooperate with each other, we have common goals, that we are on the same page, and that we are there for each other? How do we define this word unity? And as you think about it, I would like to first talk about the opposite, which is disunity. I believe every one of us in our church life have experienced some form of disunity. Even in church, sometimes relationships break. Sometimes people argue. Sometimes people get hurt. Some may feel neglected. Some people may feel helpless. Some feel underappreciated or undervalued that no one sees them. Some may be even frustrated, angry. And in this disunity or the feelings of disunity, people take all kinds of actions in church life. Sometimes we complain. Some people have grudges inside their hearts for a very long time. Some will openly criticize. Some people may stop serving. Some may even leave the church to go another church, or even worse, quit church completely. So whatever this word unity is, one thing is clear. It is hard. Unity in church, in Christian life, is difficult. It is difficult because we are people, we are humans. It is difficult because loving other people in a world which wants us to love ourselves is difficult. So in chapters 12 to 13, Apostle Paul will teach us, the church, what Christian unity is and how we can all be united in Christ. So I pray that you make notes as we go along. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Corinthian church, it was a Roman colony, a very wealthy city like New York of modern time. And people in Corinth were obsessed with status, rank, and public recognition. That was their culture. And this culture of status and recognition also entered the church in Corinth. In the last sermon on chapter 11, we saw that the Corinthian worship service and even the Lord's Supper, there were divisions. There was a display of status as some men were following the Roman Empire and they were covering their heads with the toga. There was also rebellion as women decided to uncover their heads to stand out and be the elite in the church. There was cultural pride as the rich people, they dined and wined together in the Lord's Supper while the poor were neglected. So the culture that they were living in, their society was in, the city was in, had penetrated the church and their lives. In summary, instead of being transformed by the Word of God, they were conformed to the world around them. Today, we will see some more examples of this. In chapter 12, Paul starts by talking about spiritual gifts. Verse 1, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. And in verse 4, he says, now there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. In the next few verses, he talks about different kinds of spiritual gifts. For one person is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, verse 1 in this chapter says, concerning spiritual gifts. If you're unfamiliar, Paul is writing a letter to respond to the Corinthian church. Respond to their divisions. Respond to their problems. So in the Corinthian church, they were divided due to even spiritual gifts. What was likely happening is, on one hand, you have all these people who could prophesy, who could pray in tongues, who could do healing. And maybe some of them were feeling proud that they are more spiritual than the others who don't have these gifts. And on the other hand, you have people who don't have these visibly looking gifts, wondering how come they got it, but we didn't get it. Are these people more spiritual than us? What are we doing wrong? So they wrote to Paul, and Paul is writing back to them. And you can imagine, in a place, in a culture where status, where recognition is so important, people can be divided over even gifts that God gives. And status, recognition, these are not problems of the past. These are problems of the present. and there will be problems of future in the church. And Paul, in this chapter, tells us foundationally what is Christian unity. The first important point that Paul makes is that God is the gift giver. God is the one that gives the gifts. We don't earn the gifts because of how spiritual we are, because of how lehigh or smart we are, because of how much knowledge we have. God gives the gifts as He pleases. Who are we when it comes to gifts? We are the benefactors. We are the ones receiving the gifts. When we understand church in this way, it should leave no room for pride, because God is the giver. Paul then answers why God gives us gifts. The gifts of God are His power at work in us. For what purpose? To unlock our potential to serve others. The gifts are not meant for self-serving, but they are meant for serving others. And then Paul explains in these verses why God will give people different gifts. Why everybody doesn't have all the gifts. So that we can be interdependent. When one person has a certain gift and the other person has another gift and one member has another gift, we learn to have unity. We learn to be interdependent. And as the photo says, many gifts, but one body. So God gives us differently so that we can help each other, and the gifts and our talents, they are not meant to create separation, they are meant to create unification. In summary, Paul's answer to the Corinthians and to the church is that spiritual gifts of the Spirit are meant for serving others. They are meant for uniting the church. They are not meant for self-glory. I pray that as you go through this chapter and this sermon, you can see how God's kingdom and the church is so different than the world. In the world, our gifts, our talents, our skills, they are meant for what? They are meant for self-glory. The more amazing you can sing, the more popular you are. The more skills you have at work, the more promotions you get, the better career you have. So in the world, having all the gifts and skills and talents that we have, they are meant for our own career, our own pathway. But in God's kingdom, in the church, it is the complete opposite. Our gifts are not meant for our glory, they are meant for the glory of God. So I pray today that you may use your gifts in church to serve others. And guided by the Holy Spirit, what Paul writes next, to me at least, is both beautiful and profound if you want to learn what church unity means. Verse 12, Paul says, "For just as the body is one," and here he's talking about human body, "and has many members or parts, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? And then he says, which is a very important verse, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, in the church, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable or essential. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. And then Paul concludes what Christian unity is. He says, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all must suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And when I was reading this chapter and this verse for the first time, I had goosebumps. Because God had intended the church to be a place of no divisions. God wants the church to be a place where every member has the same care for all other members. So I'll ask the question again to the few people who raised their hands. And this time you answer it in your hearts. Do we truly believe that KLBC Desa Park, our church here, is truly united? What is Christian unity? In simple words, it is the outcome or the result of God bringing together people. It is God that brings us to the church into one family or one body by faith in Christ. The key word here is God bringing together people. If we feel that unity has nothing to do with God's work, we will fail to be united. Every member of this church, whether you're seated upstairs, whether you're here, whether you're serving somewhere, it is the work of God that you are here. If we fail to see unity from the lens of the Bible, we will likely fail to be united. Each of the members has been put here by God to build God's church. And Paul uses the example of the human body to explain his point that every member is important. And I'm going to use maybe a more modern example. Imagine a person is building a brand new home. And this person has a set budget. And the goal of this person is anyone enters his new home, they should go like, wow, what a beautiful house. So that's his goal. Okay, he sets to build his house and he builds it up and he takes a fortune of his budget and he puts it on the interior design. Now, I don't know if I have Atta's taste like yours, but I think this house looks beautiful. So this person has this house now and he spends a lot of money on chandelier, custom paintings, very nice design, carpet, curtains. He spends thousands on custom-made furniture and everybody that goes into home goes like, wow, we have a very, very beautiful home. It looks amazing. But the challenge for this person was, because he had a budget, he had to cut corners on what people don't see. Inside his house, he uses thin wiring. He uses cheap plumbing. He uses a weak concrete base so he can save that money and get all the interiors. So you can imagine, after a while, his house will have many problems. In fact, it cannot survive in the long run. My point is that the main parts of any house is not only the ones that are visible, but it's also the ones that are invisible. The basic stuff, the solid foundations, the internal structure makes a house go long and remain stable. In the same way, the house of God or our church is no different. The church is one body with many members. And every one of you is equally important. Every member matters. Which is why Jesus taught us the parable of the lost sheep. And I know people in our church, and I may know some of you. I have no idea what is going on inside. But as you hear this chapter and God's word, maybe some of you feel like nobody sees your work in church. Maybe some of you are thinking nobody appreciates your serving. Maybe you're feeling that you are ignored or neglected or nobody cares for you. But I want to stand here and say, God knows. God knows all the work that you do to build his church, and that should be enough. I pray that as today you understand God's design, you don't just see yourself as a member, as invisible, but you see yourself as a church builder. Because every part, every member is important. So if you're looking for a one-slide key takeaway, this would be it. In God's kingdom, roles or gifts, they are functional to build up the church. They don't mean personal value or status or anything else. No member is inferior or superior to another. Whether a pastor, whether a preacher, whether whoever it is that even not suffering, every single member is important. And every member, the last line, has a role to build the church. So I encourage you to go and find your role. Theology done, kautim. Now we talk about practical. Why is it that Christian unity is so difficult? Now, Paul says, when he describes unity as, if one member suffers, all, everyone, suffer together. If one member is honored, all, everyone, rejoice together. How do we do this practically? Who likes suffering? Some more suffering for other people. Some more suffering for people you may not know. Some more suffering for people you may not even like. In fact, in our church today, we are so busy, we are so distracted, we have our own agendas that we barely have time to know all members of our church. We barely have time to understand who in our church is suffering. And typically what we do is we form our groups, people we like, people we get along with, but we may not pay attention to those around us who are in need. And this is where I would like to raise my hand first and say, I can do better. I would be the first one to raise my hand and say, I am guilty. When I first came to KLBC Desa Park, I also formed my own group. People that I like, people that were talking to me, and I ignored the rest. I was guilty when I came to this church right after service. Ciao. Go to the mall, go to my home, do whatever I want. I was not spending time to observe who is unhappy, who is sad, who needs encouragement, who needs some provisions because they are suffering. I was minding my own business because I thought, I'm just a member. It's not my duty, it's not my role to build a church. Let someone do it. So guilty as charged. But as I started preaching over the years in the church, as I started to go into seminary, started to read the Word of God, started to read Greek, I realized that I need to have a goal. As a preacher, as a leader in the church, I must practice what I preach. So I thought today is a good time to share with you how God has been gifting me, enabling me, and using me for His good works. So as I understood my role in the church, I started to come early. I would come to the church early and I would meet all kinds of people. Uncles, aunties, young people, Chinese service, Myanmar service. Everybody that I could see, I would spend time to meet them, to greet them. And this is 2 years ago. And if you notice, even today, I'll be walking around, shaking your hand, smiling at you. You know what I'm doing? I'm observing your faces. I'm trying to observe what's your happy face, what's your sad face, what's your I'm frustrated face, what's your don't talk to me face, and I have observed all of those in many of our members. And what God has done through this exercise is I have started to pray for those who are unhappy. You have no idea, but I pray for you. What has God done through all this is some of the young people started to ask me for counseling. I recognized who was suffering. I helped them. I recognized who needed support. I did what I could. All because God opened the doors. And then 2 years ago or so, God opened another opportunity for me. I saw that there was a gap in our church for young adults. There was no ministry, there was nobody caring for the young people, and God called me and asked me to plant the young adult ministry. This is what it looks like today. Now, to be honest, I had no idea what to do. I have no idea. I've not planted ministry before, so I was like, I don't know. But I prayed, and God created an opportunity for me to take a course to learn how to plant churches and how to plant ministries. So as I finished the course, I was thinking, okay, I got to do this on my own. But here is where God is amazing. He gave me a team of people so I don't have to build the ministry alone. Early on, we had amazing leaders that have served, and I would like to name some of them. Rebecca, Jimmy, Cece, my wife Bobo, Anchi. We had Grace, we had Legion. There were many people who volunteered to build up this ministry. And I was still doubtful because the problem with young people is they are so quick to disappear after service. It's so hard to catch their attention. So I was thinking, even if we have 10 members, praise the Lord, it's amazing because catching young people is difficult. But throughout a year or so, because we had the right intention, God gifted us now around 60 members. We praise the Lord. But when we were growing so fast, you know what was on my mind? With more members comes more headache. No, I'm just kidding. With more members comes more work. And I am working full-time. I started part-time seminary. I'm doing my master's in theology, and I preach. So I was down on my knees to God. How am I going to take care of so many people? I found it impossible. I had no idea. We struggled even with our team, but we just got somehow started. And here's where I want to encourage all of you. When human mind and ability is limited, our God is unlimited. We prayed, we did some things, we persevered, and God did the rest. God has enabled young adults to now be a safe place for many friendships and many relationships. Members are growing, not just spiritually, but also in relationships. We have made disciples, we're impacting lives of young people. We started as a group of different people with different ideas and styles. Some of us are now friends and some are even family. All enabled by God. In fact, I was reflecting on my new year and looking back, I am in awe of how much God has done. And this is not all. God, in fact, used our ministry to bless other people in and out of the church. Last year, the Young Adults Ministry, we funded a Myanmar family who did not have enough provisions because the husband got arrested. So we raised funds for them. We gifted a smartphone to a brother in our church because his phone was all damaged. He did not have enough. We sponsored ice cream, siu yok, and all the funds were raised by our ministry members. If you remember, you had enjoyed the siu yok and the ice creams. All the funds was raised by young adults. We donated for charities. We cleaned up rubbish in the car park area. We visited homes. We met people's families. And we did all of this not because we had to. We did it because we wanted to. Because God was working in our lives. God was working in our hearts and in our unity. And personally, to me, the highlight of this ministry is when Cameron, one of our members, he had a stroke. There were many people from Young Adults who were there with him from day one. And we thank and praise God, he's recovering so well. And this is where we learned what Paul says, if one suffers, all suffer together. If one is honored, all rejoice together. Why am I promoting or sharing all these things with you? I have three goals. Number one, don't think you're just a member and an ordinary, invisible member in the church. Every one of you is a church builder. Every one of you has a role to play. My second point is, no matter how busy you are, if you are willing, God will open the doors. If you are willing, God will bless you and help you and gift you to tap on opportunities. And I know every church has many problems, but I encourage you to don't look at problems, but look at opportunities. There are opportunities everywhere around us. And the last reason I shared this is I don't want to preach on sermons and don't walk the talk. Unity is hard. Unity needs your time, it needs your resources, it needs your sacrifice. You must be willing to love people, be patient. But if you are, God will surely bless you and use you. Now, you may not need to start a ministry like I did, but you can start by reaching out to other members in the church that you have never met. Other members in the church that you have never eaten with or dined with. You can start by spending time to observe where the opportunities are to grow this church. And if you can't find it, but you have the intention, I am willing to walk with you and help you find opportunities. Don't let this sermon go inside your heart, have some resolve, and by next week, all disappeared. Please act today. As you go back home and you reflect upon your life, I encourage you to build up God's church. Last few points I would like to make in this sermon is that Christian unity is built on Christian love. In a world which is hardwired to love ourselves, avoid suffering, run for personal success, how can we suffer when others suffer? How can we rejoice when we fail but others succeed? The answer is Christian love. What is Christian love? Please come back for the next sermon. Because in the last line of chapter 12, Paul says, I will show you a still more excellent way. And in chapter 13, he talks about Christian love. It is Christian love that drives Christian unity. And before I close, what would happen if the church was to be truly united? Many of you were reluctant to maybe raise your hands today, and I think that's fair. But we may also ask the question, what if KLBC Desa Park was united? When a church is truly united, the watching world is compelled to believe the truth of the gospel. In a church that is united, when new people come in, they experience joy, they experience love, but more importantly, they experience Jesus. A church that is fully united becomes a living testimony of Jesus, not only to people inside, but those in the neighborhood. And hands to heart, in my humble opinion, our church is not there yet. But I am very confident we are heading in the right direction. We are heading in the right pathway to be a testimony for Jesus as a church. So I hope and pray that you never forget what you have learned today. Every member, each one is equally important in building God's church. Whether your work is seen or unseen, it doesn't matter because God sees it all. And Christian unity is the result, is the outcome of God bringing together His people into one family and one body. For what purpose? To build up God's church together. So please go and find your opportunities. I encourage you to find what your role is if you don't have one. And God will be with you. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we are so grateful this morning that you have enabled, through the Apostle Paul, the understanding of what Christian unity is. One body with many members. When one suffers, all suffer. When one is honored, all rejoice. It's a very different message from the world, where we feel alone, where we are running and gunning and spending so much time and effort to make a name for ourselves, to put food on the table. But in church, we are not alone. Lord, I pray for healing of our hearts. If there are any divisions among us, may you heal us through your word. Lord, I pray that you may heal our minds so that we may not think of ourselves as a member who comes for Sunday worship service, but each one of us sees ourselves as the builder of God's church. And Lord, I pray that whatever we have learned today, it may stay in our hearts so that we can go and get to know each other. Not only the people that are like us, not only the people we like, but everyone in our church. Give your people a heart, O Lord, to observe who is suffering. And we suffer in different ways. I know some of us are going through health issues. Some of us have financial issues. Some of us have broken hearts. Some of us have broken relationships, broken marriages. Some of us are just struggling with anxiety and confidence and pressure and stress. And Lord, I pray that we may find strength and encouragement in your words. I pray for those who are suffering alone to reach out to others because church is your community to help them. And Lord, I pray for all of our members that we may not wait to be united, that we may act and find our role in creating a united church that glorifies your holy name. We ask and pray for your mighty hands to be with all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.